When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let me get comfortable. It's about to be lit. I'm Eric.
And I'm Brittany.
And we are For Color Nerds.
The conversations
that black people have
when white people are not in the room.
But we record them.
And we put them on the internet.
Yes. So.
So.
Today.
Today.
Today is lit.
Today is lit.
So again, I mean, we said this before, but we have some episodes where, you know, we come into the studio and we're like, you know, let's get a crack. And we're excited. We're always excited to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have days like today where it's like, man, we're jumping in our seat. I think we're both have come to this conversation with a lot of excitement and a lot of depth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all things that we've kind of talked about before, but it's rare that you get kind of teed up with this nice little moment in time that actually brings them together, this nexus of ideals and personalities.
All right.
So to bring some clarity to what I'm actually talking about.
Yes.
I'm talking about Beyonce. I'm talking about Beyonce Knowles Carter. I'm talking about Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
And the very fruitful conversation around each of their performances at the Super Bowl and the Grammys.
Yes.
So we're not going to waste no time today.
We're not going to talk about Amazon today.
Yeah, I don't give a shit what you did this week.
It was fine.
It was fine. The same. Whatever.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
We're alive. We black. We still here.
That's what I'm saying.
There's shit going on.
We ain't sick.
Exactly. I feel good today.
Okay.
I got my coffee and my water right here.
I know. I'm going to have to pee.
I'm hydrated and I'm prepped.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's get into it. So our goal today, and we've had a lot of requests. We've seen people like reach out to us and we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
We initially stayed away from the conversation when like Beyonce dropped Formation, the video.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big surge of conversation around that.
Yes.
Like that specifically, in that act. Initially, a lot of think pieces came about. And I thought they were great. And they honestly, and even there were some other podcasts Three did a great episode on Beyonce and the reaction to that. And honestly, I thought they did a great job. I didn't really have that much to add. And then Kendrick performed at the Grammys.
Yeah.
There was a very different reaction to Kendrick's performance at the Grammys.
Yes.
And people obviously started to notice the differences in those reactions. And well, we should talk about the reaction to the reaction.
Because we weren't even, like you said, people were like, oh, you guys should have a Formation episode. We were like, look, other people have talked about it much better, you know, than we could. Like, there's nothing that we had to add. But then Kendrick came through. King Kunta came through.
And the way life works. We're here today.
Yeah.
So, you know, to jump into this, I think we should start talking about the performances.
Yeah.
Because it's really, that's honestly, for why I feel like the majority of this conversation, that's where it centers from. It's all about their performance. So, just to recap real quick, jump into Beyonce first.
Yes.
It is the Super Bowl. Oddly enough, Coldplay is the one that they, you know, chosen to build this around.
It's like ever since Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
They just are like, we got to find what's the driest shit we could possibly sandwich in between these two halves of a football game?
But, you know, I used to like Coldplay's early stuff.
No, I mean, yeah,
the
we
early
all
stuff
did.
Was,
hey,
know.
I taped Yellow off the radio.
Yo.
When I was in like middle school, high school. So there it is.
But it's terrible. I hate to call it trash. It's not trash. I wouldn't say it's trash.
It's
but
like, it's like, a little whack. Like their stuff now is like real corny.
Yeah. It's like U2 in a sense.
Yeah, like no shade.
That's
like,
where they are.
They're talented. You too is talented, but the shit is real corny. Yeah.
Like Joshua.
Joshua Tree. I was gonna say like
it's lit.
It's great, but then like, did anybody album that they tried to put in my phone a couple years ago? What was the point?
Didn't work.
Right.
Wasn't good.
Uh-uh.
Then Beyonce and well, actually, I mean, before that, Bruno Mars came out. And I honestly, I fucking love Bruno Mars. Like,
it's so embarrassing because the other thing about Bruno, like, Bruno Mars stresses me out because, like,
he's corny.
He's corny, and like, my mom fucking loves him, yeah. And also, like, everyone's mom does. Also, like, he kind of be pretend, he'd be fake light skin.
Yeah.
He and Rita Ora, actually, that's like, yeah. I think somebody on Tumblr coined the term like fake light skin or passing for light skin.
Yeah. Like, that's what it is. That's
you know what? You know what I mean? And like, that makes me feel some type of way. But the other thing, and also, like, was that? That Uptown Funk is like so corny, yeah,
but it's and also it's, so good.
Yeah, but it's so satisfying. Oh, I think he's a great performer. I think he's really talented.
I mean, he did a great job of
the halftime show a couple years ago.
Yeah, halftime show a couple years ago, and even this one, like, I really felt like he was sending a shout out to everybody's like mid-50s uncle. Yeah, you know, you got that mid-50s uncle who like still wearing leather sets like, you know, just stuck in another time.
I don't know the time when leather sets were popping.
I mean, it happened. It was a brief moment, but they latched on. It's almost like it's the polar opposite to the linen suit.
It's like the guy from Waiting to Exhale that Lila Rashawn was dating.
Yes.
When she threw the
Leon.
Or the other one who played Bubba Gump, McKelty Williamson, when she was like, a white woman can have your sorry ass. And he was like throwing oranges at her and shit. Yeah. Like, he grew up.
Yeah, exactly. but Bruno Mars did an awesome job too. And then Beyonce came out there.
Yeah.
And man, oh man, oh man.
Oh, damn.
So Beyonce came out there dressed to the nines, looking great.
Yeah.
In gear. I say gear. What the fuck is gear? And her wardrobe was definitely like sending a shout out to, obviously, the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
And there's levels to all that shit. Yeah. Because, obviously, Black Panthers, it was like their anniversary. 50th anniversary of their founding.
50th anniversary of Super Bowl, too.
Yeah. In addition to that, they're also from the Bay Area, started in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And obviously the Super Bowl was in the Bay Area too. So it was a lot of levels. And like, when I saw that, I was like, yo.
Yeah.
Yo, Beyonce, bold as fuck.
Yeah.
To like really also frame that, like, because this goes into a part of the reaction that I think we'll dive into. Mm-hmm. Like, the Super Bowl is mass audience.
Everybody's like, watching.
Everybody is watching. It is tailor-made to not offend anyone.
That's hence why Coldplay
exactly
and Bruno Mars did the halftime show.
The goal is to have everyone watch this and everyone have a good time. So to see Beyonce come out there with the old school Michael Jackson,
I loved that callback to Michael Jackson. Yeah.
And then have everybody's afro out there. It was like only Black women in the
only band. Only Black women dancing and performing. Yeah. It was amazing.
I was like, yo, this is really aggressive.
Yeah.
And I love it. Like, yeah. I really, truly love it. Honestly, it made me like the song a little more. A lot of her music, I've really had to, it's taken frequency for me to really like get into it. Specifically, like a 7-Eleven. Like, I did not like 7-Eleven.
Nobody
liked
this song at first.
The video came out, and like, you listen to it a couple times, you really kind of get kind of what she was going for. Yeah. So I feel like I had with Formation, the song specifically, not necessarily the video. I had to really listen to it a few times, and now I would say it's definitely starting to grow on me. But the performance made a big difference in that.
Yeah.
The dancing was on point.
Also, in the dancing, too, like, we went to Howard. So those of you who are familiar with Howard also know about Ooh La La.
Yeah.
And also just the tradition of Black majorettes in general. And you could see that in the video itself. And, like, even, like, getting information. So, like, I didn't do... I'm not from a place where we have majorettes. I'm from Farmington Hills, Michigan. But I was, did do this thing that's kind of like a cross between drill team and cheerleading called pom-pom. And like the whole thought of precision and formations. And I used to coach it too. So like that whole thing it looked amazing in the video.
Yeah.
But then like having all these Black women basically doing majorette shit with like a marching band. Not, you know, like, what is it? The Rust College, they have a game. They have a rival game every year with another school.
I mean, there are a lot of those games. So, like, have one with Hampton.
Yes. Year.
Yeah. Howard has one with Hampton.
Yeah. Like, the Black Football Classic or something like that. Yeah. So it kind of took, like, that majorette style, like, out of context and put it in this, like national stage and kind of, like, gave it some shine. And I thought that was, like, super duper awesome that she had all Black women dressed up like Black Panthers, singing, like performing to Formation while doing, like, this whole majorette style thing. Like, it was so popping to me.
Yeah, no, it was, honestly, it was amazing. Even when she almost fell, like, gravity moved to accommodate her.
Literally.
Because that's just not going to happen. Mm-mm. It wasn't in the cards.
No.
I think it's a fair enough recap of the performance.
Yeah.
Conversely, like, a little bit later, you have Kendrick's performance, which is also, like, I will say, I think I really enjoyed Kendra's performance, but I woke up to like Twitter on fire because I didn't watch the Grammys.
Me either. I was like, busy that night.
Yeah. Okay. I watched it the next day and I was like, oh, wow. Damn, this really happened. Like, and it's very, like, honestly, the performance was so Kendrick, too, in terms of just the like, overwhelming blackness, you know, like throughout it. Like, I mean, only Kendrick would really have folks coming out there in like in prison uniforms as if they were still on like a slave, like slave.
It was
line.
Like some cool hand Luke.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
It sent honestly messages in a lot of different directions. I really liked that he came out and did Black of the Berry. Like, yeah. I also thought it was really interesting that he led with the verse from Black of the Berry that was criticizing white people's perception of blackness and
yeah,
black men.
Yeah.
I thought that was bold as fuck.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. And then he definitely like went into kind of the more like he went into All Right, and obviously there were the, I guess what you would quote unquote call like traditional African dance.
Yes. Quote unquote, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We should talk about that a little
yeah,
more.
Yeah, we can
later.
Talk about that.
But
I will say that rendition of All Right sounded beautiful.
Yeah.
That sounded beautiful.
It definitely was one of the best like technical performances that
yeah.
night.
Oh, from what I heard,
like,
yeah.
Adele like went up there.
I like don't even
struggled.
Know anything about that. Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is that wasn't news to me, so I didn't have to investigate
Fenty,
that. I'm like Fenty. An Adele truther. No, I'm an Adele truther. I'm like one of those people who goes and watches Beyonce videos. Like, they have these videos very quickly on YouTube where they'll have like Adele in various performances, yeah. Beyonce in various performances, and they'll like tell you who's off
yeah.
and how often somebody is off. Adele don't be on key. I'm not saying she ain't talented. I'm just yeah. saying she ain't Patty.
I mean,
anyway, go
who
ahead.
Is? But yes. Going back to Kendrick,
mm-hmm.
the performance was extremely, like, aggressive, which I think was kind of, like, you know, I mean, he is often extremely aggressive.
Yeah.
But I think that was very much the kind of point. And the idea was kind of to confront white people with racism in its many forms.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a cool little, like, shout out with at the end when he was in silhouette, the outline of Africa, and mm-hmm. Compton was placed in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we're going to talk about that.
But I thought it was a nice like call out. I saw what he was trying to do. There's often like
I saw what he was trying to yeah. do. That's a good way to put it. I saw what he was trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, trying to like Compton as an other, like if you think about like Africa. Yeah, he tried.
Yeah. He did. He did. He tried. I'm not even being shady, but like, you know.
Yeah. At the end, rousing applause, standing ovation. Like I think everybody really
felt something.
Felt
It's true.
No, I mean, and honestly, I did too. I was like, wow. I mean, it's one of those things. It's very intense. Like to jump a little bit into the comparison,
mm-hmm.
I think I was able to capture more of the depth of Beyonce's performance faster, which maybe makes sense because that
yeah.
perform, like, I mean, there was so much crammed into her like 4 minutes.
Not
like,
only that, too,
in a 3 minute section,
you had a very strong. Pervasive visual that
yeah.
that was immediately, do you know what I'm saying, that had been released the day before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it gave
That's
her whole
one.
Thing so much more context.
Exactly. So it definitely took me, like, honestly, it took me a couple watches to watch Kendrick's performance to really get an idea, like you were saying, what he was trying to do, what he was going yeah. for. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I've said it a million times, I love Kendrick. And I thought it was excellent. So that happened.
Yeah.
These two amazing performances, these two amazingly black
super black in super white
spaces.
Yeah.
And the reaction to them was a little different.
It
was, you know, one could say polar opposites.
It could be said. It could be said.
So obviously after Beyonce's performance, I want to clarify too, I didn't see a lot. I very much, even for Beyonce and Kendrick,
mm-hmm.
I saw a very specific like section of the reactions to both performances. Like, and I realize that on whether it's Twitter and even my Feedly, like I very much have some sort of selection bias where
uh-huh.
I'm able to exclude
some trash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like I didn't really hear about the Morning Joe like interview where like Giuliani came on there and talked about Beyonce's performance called it disgusting.
The other thing is I also like
surprise.
Like yeah. how irrelevant can you like why are the last person I think of to ask about like what did you think about Beyonce's Super Bowl performance on television? Rudy Giuliani is the very last person that I would think.
Well, you know, he's the everyman color commentator.
Very true, very true.
Like I didn't see a lot of that. I honestly didn't hear about the anti-Beyonce protest, which apparently might have been fake. But I didn't hear about talking when people were talking about the negative reaction to Beyonce's performance.
Yeah,
I really had to reach out to understand it. So I was like, I mean, from what I see, everybody is fucking with it. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I saw mad gifs of Beyonce, Bruno Mars, and Chris Martin. Oh, when your wife ran trying to be down. Like, I saw that. Like, I saw, you know, everybody. Like, I saw a million pictures of her her dancers on Instagram. Yeah. Like, the, like, beautiful shots of them, like, during the performance. I honestly didn't catch a lot of the vitriol that happened. But it was clear after the praise of Kendrick's, there were pieces of that conversation that I did see that did not occur right in the aftermath of
Kendrick was like universal praise. So like I missed Kendrick's performance because I was busy that night. You know, celebrating Valentine's Day a little late. But I didn't I watched it actually. Like I just how do I put it? You said something yesterday where you were like, you know, I hadn't seen the performance, honestly, until yesterday. I was going to watch it at some point, but, like, I know that Kendrick's an incredible live performer. I knew that the performance would be pretty black. Yeah. So, like, nothing that happened to me was, nothing that about the performance was surprising to me. I knew I was going to watch it at some point. I thought it was excellent, but you had said something where you were like, you thought it was very good, but, like, you weren't shocked by any of it. And, like, that's how I felt. I thought it was very good, but I was also like, this to me is not newsworthy. Like as far as like I thought it was excellent and I thought that it was really black. And I think maybe, I guess that part is kind of newsworthy. But also like, to me, his performance was not a long, like it was not a far walk from people's perception of him.
Yeah.
The unanimous praise, I thought, you know, that's like fine. But there was little, like, I guess my issue was that like, I think some of the criticisms of Beyonce's quote unquote politics. But, like, you know what I mean?
Well, say more about those criticisms, because, I mean, that's, I mean, again, I had kind of selection bias, so I didn't see a lot, if you could illustrate.
So, like, there was lots of stuff where it was like, okay, so there's a lot of stuff coming from, like, assuming that Beyonce doesn't have a basic understanding of her own identity, that Beyonce doesn't believe herself to be a black woman, which is very bizarre.
Yeah, and even the SNL, like, skit.
Yeah.
That came out, which is amazing.
Yeah.
They was like, oh my God, Beyonce is black.
Yeah.
I thought she was a woman. Maybe she's both.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with like Kerry Washington. Like, like, you know, could be Kerry Washington's black too. Like, So I think that like there's this thought, even among black people, that like Beyonce does not believe herself to be a black woman. Does not wish
fucking
to.
Wild.
Which is, I'm just like, literally, I think, I want to say, who was it? I think a million years ago. It was after the Grammys actually last year. What is it? Where Beyonce didn't get, like, I think she lost to Beck and people were like, you know, whenever anything happens to her, she does anything.
Yeah.
People got a lot to say about it. It was Judd Nicki on Twitter and she was like, Beyonce married a drug dealer, always has a 26-inch weave and kept her thighs. And y'all still don't believe that this woman thinks that she's black. Yeah. Like, what else does she have to do? So like a lot of the criticism about, I think, assumes that Beyonce has like, is of very little intelligence and like allows people to sort of like place her up against different like political tableaus.
Yeah.
And like, so I thought that kind of stuff was illegitimate. There are people who felt like the female Black Panthers chose a lot of conservative dress almost on purpose. And like her costumes can memeify the Black Panthers and also sexualize that image. And I'm like, okay, I think that I could see that that's a legitimate criticism. Also, like, I know that there are a lot of people, myself included, who found like that her invocation of that imagery to be so affirming and so powerful, especially in such a like a public space. Yeah. So like I can also see, I thought that like the Black Panther criticism was legitimate.
Yeah.
Also, there are a lot of people who felt like the message behind the song, sort of Black women's like relationship to capitalism and Beyonce's ideas about always stay gracious, best revenge is your paper.
Yeah.
And like her talking about what she could, you know, buy for her man or how much money she's earning. Money being like the central signifier for success and worth as a human being.
Yeah.
So I felt like even like, you know, I think that capitalist critique of that is legitimate.
And to a certain degree.
Like,
let's stick with it for a little bit. Cause I mean, I think that's one of the ones, I think we can kind of come back to some of the other stuff as we talk about. But there is a separation between hip hop and R&B.
Yeah.
And pop music as well.
Yeah.
And Beyonce often, I guess people would assume that she comes in at kind of the intersection of pop and R&B for the most part.
Yes.
But she was raised in Houston. Black woman raised in Houston.
Black woman raised in Houston.
And hip hop is like, there's no way, shape, or form to not see the amazing influence that hip hop has played on her music and her person as she's grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, hearing those elements of formation wasn't surprising. That to me was more of a call out to like hip hop, where all of it is about boasting and acquiring.
Right. And the other thing is too, is that it made me think a lot about like Beyonce's focus throughout her career. If you think about like one of Destiny's Child's most popular first singles was Bills, Bills, Bills.
Yeah.
I think about being a black woman in America and like the money. Okay, so like capitalism is, right? Okay, like a disclaimer, capitalism is. Yeah. We are almost all of us, I think, are complicit in its maintenance.
Yeah.
But also like I don't really have any choice. None of us really have any choice to live outside of it for the most part. Just take that in this conversation as given. That said, within our like capitalist patriarchal structure, also, you know, white supremacist, all of, you know, all that shit. But specifically within like a capitalist, white supremacist, patriarchal structure, as a black woman, having money allows you so many things. It allows you some level of comfort. It allows you some level of safety and independence. And so like being a black woman who does not have to be, if I can take care of myself. I'm a black woman who can take care of myself.
Yeah.
Like reaching the point where I realize that not only can I take care of myself right now financially, but probably going forward, I will continue to be able to do that. And possibly in the future, like I may have the capacity to be the breadwinner for my home. That is such a powerful feeling, and that I do not have to be beholden to anybody. I was raised by a woman who made sure that I knew that education and getting a job and taking care of myself and saving money, and always my mother's always talking about a nest egg, because are the most important things, because those were the most important things for my mother. And even though like my mom stayed at home after I was born, those are her values, and those things
and
allowed her to those, and she's passed them on. And also like I'm obsessed with Beyonce, so I know a lot about Tina Knowles. Even though Beyonce's father had like worked for Xerox and had a certain amount of money, her mother always made sure, and she's spoken about this before publicly, that she had her own salon and that she always had her own means to take care of herself.
Yeah.
Money is so important, period. But like when you're a black woman, you have a special relationship to it, because it allows you to, like nobody can, if somebody decides to start beating my ass, I don't have to stay. I don't have to do shit because I have financial independence. Do you know what I mean? And that allows me to kind of like move freely.
And that's, I mean, honestly, you know, that's something specifically for women of color. How, and even like the cultural hindrances that women often find themselves in.
Yeah.
Having money allows them to very much subvert that directly and assert themselves within those scenarios more than, you know, they ever would be able to like without it.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that if you, if you get that, you now have that opportunity, you might want to celebrate it.
Yeah. Your husband is somebody who, black men all over the world, specifically in the United States,
worship and revere.
Worship. And you out-earn him. If I was in her shoes, you wouldn't be able to get me to shut the fuck up about it. Which is why when she says, when he fucks me good, I take his ass to Red Lobster. Like, when he has sex with me to my liking, I will take him to a chain restaurant where our bill cannot possibly exceed $125.
Yeah.
Even if we decided to go the fuck in. Like,
get a couple drinks.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, each of us has an appetizer.
Yeah.
Each of us has a dessert. That we get an extra fucking round of biscuits.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm
saying?
All
the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
All the Cheddar Bay biscuits. That means something.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, being a 15, she's like 15, 16 when Bills, Bills, Bills came out. And she's talking about how she's earning money and she's the sole, like, she's primarily, like, her teenage boyfriend is mooching off of her, and she's tired of that shit, and she wants him to be cut the fuck off. It's not...
Her reality is different.
Her reality is different. My reality is different. Yeah. I can identify with that. Even, you know, if there's a really good article, you shared this with me a few months ago, by Doreen St. Felix, the Prosperity Gospel of Rihanna. Shit is fire.
Yeah.
Talks specifically, I mean, she gets deep. She talks about how uncomfortable it makes people, specifically white people, to see black women not just talking about money, but asking for it and interacting with cash and keeping it in their hands, trying to get back the shit that they're owed. Like, it's a totally, there's a lot of deep shit there. But, like, there's a whole conversation going on around you, other people who aren't black women, that, like, you're not privy to it. You're not necessarily understanding what she's saying because she's probably not speaking to you.
And that comes to, I think, another one of the big issues and criticisms about the performance was the, I mean, there's the overwhelming, like, feeling now. And that's why I think white people, you know, specifically are now realizing that Beyonce is black, are now realizing, everybody else was kind of on that train. It was very rare that it was so clear that she's not speaking to everybody.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what caused a lot of people to have issues. Like, there was no uncertainty through the video formation, through the performance, that she was speaking specifically to black people.
Right.
And even if you compare that somewhat with with Kendrick's performance,
or even Kendrick's album release last year.
Yeah. Looking at that through that lens, like he was very much celebrated for that.
Mm-hmm.
And even in this particular performance, it was interesting in the beginning of that, he very much kind of was talking to white people.
Yeah.
Which might have some, you know, some effect on the perception of that. I mean, I think the end was definitely a celebration of blackness and celebration of black people. But in the beginning,
it was an indictment.
Highlighting our struggle, it was an indictment. Exactly. Going back to Beyonce specifically, like, that's something people are not used to from her. Like, they're not used to that from her. And so it was clear that a lot of people had very much had an issue with it, especially on a stage like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Say what you want for the Grammys. Like, the Grammys, you know, very much, it is a super white space. Don't get it twisted. But the Grammys is traditionally much more open to some sort of, like, artistic exploration.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, it's not, again, it's not shocking that a performance like that would be at the Grammys. It's been some wild shit to happen at the Grammys before. Yeah. But at the Super Bowl, like, at the Super Bowl, even, like, the only other, and there are actually two. The only other two extreme confrontations with whiteness that have happened at the Super Bowl, to my knowledge, are probably most recent, MIA's throwing up the middle finger.
Yeah.
And, of course, Janet Jackson's
nipple
that popped out. And, say what you want, was supposed to be an accident. This was a deliberate act.
Yes. Rehearsed.
Beyonce knew what she was doing at the very beginning, you know, and carried it out flawlessly. And I think people ultimately had a problem with that.
Yeah.
Had a significant problem with that.
Yeah.
That you would take this environment that's supposed to be for everybody and say, you know what? I'm going to talk to my people for a minute.
Yeah, exactly. 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 And it's like, it's interesting because it was very evident to both of us that she was talking to black people and that she was trying to do something. She even said, she's like, I can't remember the precise quote, but it was like, I want something like for people to feel good and to love themselves. Yeah. Like, she's saying like this, I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils.
It's very
specific. Love my black man's, my black American man's nose to look like the black ass nose that, like, not Michael Jackson in his later years had. Yeah. Not Michael Jackson in the
80s.
Yeah. The original bell pepper. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's like, this is what I like.
Yeah.
And, like, it doesn't matter how much money. It doesn't matter how much money I make. It doesn't matter how much money I earn. It doesn't matter how much I entertain all of you.
Yeah.
And or how you feel about it. These are my preferences and this is my life. My daughter's going to have edges and natural hair.
Yep.
My daughter's a beautiful child. I'm putting her in my video.
Happy.
Happy. Carefree. Having a good time. My husband is attractive to me and we have amazing sex. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, his value in this context comes from his ability to physically please a powerful woman.
Yeah.
Which
also, I mean, just to step outside the performance a little bit, was really interesting to me about, like, formation in general. It very much seemed like she was reasserting, like, her position in a matriarchy. Like, in terms of within, like, her
Say
family.
Say more about that.
So, like, even if you look at the shots with men, outside of the cutaways where it's, like, people dancing.
Yeah.
It's very much her standing out front with kind of the men and what I would assume would be a family. They were outside of a house, like, standing, like, right behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not surprising within a Southern family.
Yeah.
You know, there is always some sort of matriarch.
Big Mama Madea.
Yeah, whoever. You know, some sort of figure. But it very much felt like she was kind of reasserting herself as that person within, you know, a culture or calling, like, some sort of signifying to that, but being herself within that. It doesn't have to be, you know, like a big mama or like what we
Mom Dukes or whatever.
Yeah, like what we assume that position looks like. You know, it can be someone who looks like Beyonce.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuck out to me during.
I didn't even notice it. That was good.
Thanks. But yeah, no, I mean, that definitely popped out to me, like, throughout all of those things. And even if you look at that, like, there is some sort of connection to the performance, I think. I mean, it was all women in the band. Yeah. All the women were dancers. And even if you look at the Black Panthers specifically, while, you know, there are obviously a few very important women who, you know, we recognize and remember from the Black Panthers, mm-hmm. like, it's traditionally thought of as a movement led by men.
Yeah.
So to have this performance where you're roundly celebrating the Black women and specifically the Black women, like, within that movement, mm-hmm. again, kind of reasserting that, like, it reminded me of that. I saw some connections there.
No, I actually know that. That's a really good point. I actually didn't even think about that Black Panther point, the one you just made.
It was really interesting. Like, I've watched the performances, like, a couple of times. Uh-huh. And I even went back and I've only seen Formation twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I probably need to watch it again.
737 times.
But those are the things that definitely, like, popped out to me. Like, Formation is thick. Like, Formation is about as thick as To Pimp a Butterfly.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously. And it's interesting that you say that. Because something that I think about, I want it to be known. Like, I think when I watch Kendrick's performance, I think Kendrick is an incredible artist. And not only that, he feels so real to me. Like, yeah. When I see him and I see him performing and I hear his lyrics, and, like, he reminds me of so many Black men that I know. And as far as just, like, figuring it out and yeah. feeling conflicted and being young and being angry and being really smart and being having all
I
of
went
these
to a searcher place.
Yeah. And he, like, and that felt very familiar to me.
Yeah.
And not so much, like, it didn't feel familiar to me in the same way that Formation did, obviously, because
totally.
Formation is foreign about me. Yeah. Like, my granddaddy is from Genoa, Louisiana. Like, Formation is about me.
Yeah, I
but
mean,
like,
but yeah, I'm not a woman, so.
True.
Yeah, keep going.
But yeah, no, so, like, the thing about Kendrick, I think that his performance is incredible. I thought it was great. I thought that there were some things about it. Like, the same way that, like, there are a lot of criticisms that I felt could have been made about Kendrick's performance, though, and about Kendrick's politics, I guess, that just are never really
explored.
Kendrick is something, like, the same way that Beyonce got paid a hell of a lot of money, has yeah. like a lot of corporate sponsorships, but, you know, from the Super Bowl, even just alone, Kendrick got Reebok money.
Yeah.
Kendrick got Calvin Klein money.
Yeah.
Kendrick probably looking for more money because like, touring is expensive. The way the music industry is set up now, labels are not bankrolling all of that shit. Like, they can't afford to. Nobody can afford to. That shit is really fucking expensive. But, like, Beyonce gets Pepsi money. It's a problem.
Yeah. He doesn't get that critique.
No, he doesn't get that critique.
He's definitely, there's still, like, a purity to how he expresses his Blackness.
Right.
That is untouched by, like corporate greed or whatever.
Yeah. And it's like, Kendrick, he, like, the same way that I think that there's a valid criticism about the Black Panthers thing, even though I don't necessarily, like, I see the points, but I didn't come to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
Like, emotionally. Or,
same.
Right. But Kendrick also had, there were some things that were happening in his performance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
keep going.
Where, like, I felt like exactly the same way that people felt like Beyonce cribbed from the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
It could be also said, but, like, a lot of people felt acknowledged by it.
Yeah.
Like, the same could be said for Kendrick's, like, the prison motif that was throughout his performance.
Yeah.
It could be said that he was capitalizing, literally,
yeah.
off of the pain of those who are incarcerated and, like, have been incarcerated. Like, yeah. like the way that he was dressed, I think we said Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
Like, that's like 60s, 70s. That's like when you're thinking of, like, Attica.
Or,
like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, it's there's like a specific prison culture that existed even during the 60s and 70s that came to mind for me when I watched that performance. And, like, it could be said that he was capitalizing off of those people's pain.
I mean, I will, as a slight counterpoint to that, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you in some sense,
yeah.
especially in the sense that we know Kendrick hasn't necessarily been through that. But for me, it was more of an indictment of the carceral state.
I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
But the other thing also, for me, the idea, like, before I got to Howard, the idea of prison kind of was always looming.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. Like, don't get it twisted. I didn't grow up in, like, the hood. I was like, there was a proximity to the hood. But, like, that was never something that was supposed to be real for me.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really supposed to be real for anybody.
Yeah.
But from my interactions with family, friends, who I knew who lived in situations that where they didn't have as much access to privilege.
People directly related to you in your community.
Yeah, it was always looming. And so from talking with them, there seemed a possibility that something could happen for where I would be in prison.
Yeah.
And, I mean, statistically, that is very true.
Yeah.
So that also kind of connected with me to from that piece of the performance. But I do agree with what you're saying, like, yeah. In the sense that, like, even, but even calling that out, you know, he talks about himself as having some distance from his community on, like, Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah.
So one could still say that to a certain degree, there's a little bit of
Yeah, a little borrowing.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is like, I agree with you. I thought that ultimately, like, I thought that he had that imagery in, like, I thought it was displayed in a respectful way.
Yeah.
And I definitely got the message that he was like, sending. But also, you know how we do here. We try to be critical of, like, everything that we consume. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, totally.
And
we,
like,
should be.
Yeah, yeah. I think it should be. And it's like, I enjoyed it, but I also was like, I see what you're doing there. It could be.
The validity, like, in that critique.
Yes, yeah. I saw the validity in that critique, even though emotionally I came to a different conclusion.
Totally.
And but then there's also.
Yeah.
Compton, Africa?
Yeah. So, I mean, even the... So, okay. There were a lot of call-outs to... And I have to use quotes around. I think actually somebody... There's an awesome article from Afrolicious.
Yes.
Which is in the reading. Y'all got to read it. It's really, really good.
Really
it's
good.
By Anne Daramola. I don't know if I pronounce her
name. I think Daramola, I think, is right.
But she talked about the kind of the meme of Africa. And... This is something that comes out a lot, especially in hip-hop music, especially in, and I'm going to use this term, and I want to kind of have a bit of a disclaimer. I'm using the term conscious rap probably a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like that term, but yeah. It's very specific in terms of, like, the imagery that it calls to mind.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use it, and you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But it's a shitty term. But especially in conscious rap, there's always this idea of, like, claiming your blackness and mm-hmm. asserting your black, your Africanness.
Yes.
Like, being a real African.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever listened to Dead Prez, Prez, okay. You know what I'm talking about. Like, Africa is thick through there.
Yeah.
But it's a very, like, the perception of Africa is very specific. It's very yes. rooted in probably in something we don't. No, like,
yeah.
And it's probably not, like, it's not the reality for right now.
No, it may not have ever necessarily been the reality.
And I like this article, really, Kendrick Lamar's African City and the Meme of African and Black Diasporas really called that to critique in the sense of, yo, I mean, this doesn't really, like what? There's no, Africa is not a country, it's a continent.
Yes.
Start there. There's no delineation of the countries within Africa and the Africas. Like,
yeah. Well, it's like also like thinking about, like, okay, Mexico and the United States are both in the same continent.
Yes.
Very different countries.
Correct.
Even within the United States, Hawaii is very different from Texas, which is very different from Vermont. So, like, imagine what Africa might be like.
Yeah. One could say that there's a lot of diverse representation within that continent.
Yes.
So to present it as this one monolith, which
yeah.
we traditionally try to get away from in terms of thinking about blackness itself,
yeah,
kind of overlooks.
Shining through CIDP to me means being able to do what you want to do and not what the disease is telling you you can't do. Don't give in to the disease. It's not easy, but I'm going to do it. And like I've told people, I may have CIDP, but CIDP don't have me.
Sign up at shiningthroughcidp.com to get real CIDP stories and resources.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree, all lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Lot of things.
Yeah.
Now, what I will acknowledge is kind of the flip side to that coin, in the sense of like a lot of Black people don't really know how to define. I can speak to that myself. Mm-hmm. Don't know how to define specifically their relationship to Africa within its history.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're still, within my family specifically, we're still trying to pinpoint where in Africa we came from.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where there's often a disconnect.
Yeah.
People don't know, so they just, you know, we don't claim the whole thing. I'm African.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to, you know, I'm from Nigeria. I'm from, you know, I'm Zambian. Or like,
yeah.
Yeah, you understand what I'm
saying? Yeah, we don't know.
But still, there can be a little bit of like, it can be heavy-handed sometimes.
Compton, Africa is possibly the definition of heavy-handed.
But yeah, like I think, I mean, and that's Kendrick in general.
Yeah.
He can be a bit heavy-handed.
Well, the other thing is, too, is that, like, and that, this is the thing that I found very interesting. Beyonce's performance and video seemed to actually be thoroughly researched.
Yeah.
I think that's why Formation is so thick.
Yeah.
Because, the like, down to every single detail. But, like, I think that Kendrick's I actually felt like it had a lot of nuance at the beginning. Like,
yeah,
even just choosing the type of prison garb and having the callback to the chain gang and all that kind of stuff. Because even it, like, just a slight aside, chain gang music is like a real genre of thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Having that callback there in that space, to me, I thought was pretty interesting. But then to get to the next part where, like, there's the black lights and the glow-in-the-dark paint,
yeah,
and, like, it's, like, it's hard, too, because every single criticism that I read, or even like the piece of praise that I read, it was just like, quote unquote, African. And it's like, okay, like you said, you know what I'm saying? You have Chad, you have Libya, you have Algeria, you have Botswana, you have all of these different countries and they're all completely different.
Yeah.
And like that'd be like if someone in Africa saw on an award show a mariachi band perform and was just this traditional American, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
this traditional North American music. It's hard too, because I could see, like, as a critic, you don't have a ton to work with.
Yeah.
I felt like Kendrick, something that he could have done, or even his choreographer, like, had a like said, this is the style of dance that we chose. This is where it comes from. This is the style of dress that we chose. This is where it comes from. Just to, like, to me, that would have been a really teeny tiny thing that they could have done that would have been totally legitimate, that would have helped to provide some context. And, like, helped bring the conversations about those things to the fore. And there's a lot of murkiness, I think. People feel like there's a lot of murkiness around, like, Beyonce's influences and where she gets them from. But something, for the most part, I think she actually does do typically is credit where she finds things. So, like, even when she had the dance from Girls Who Run the World,
yeah,
she saw these guys on YouTube. She reached out to them. She found them.
Yeah.
She brought them in to teach her how to do what she did. She's, like, provided video of, like, this is where I got this from. These are these people. I want to say that she brought them in even to teach her and her dancers for a performance that she did at the Billboard Awards in 2010 or something like that. For the most part, the shots that they included from that documentary or whatever, they said, like, this is where this comes from. Like, there's, like, yes, this is Big Frida. Yes, this is Messy Maya.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there was a lot of clarity saying, like, I know exactly where I got these things from. I know exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, like, this, all of this I've, like, packaged and presented to you. And, like, I felt like Kendrick's stuff was a little ham-fisted.
Yeah.
I think that as smart as he is and as talented as he is, I think that he could have put together a performance with a higher level of sophistication and attention to detail.
So, okay. And I don't know that I agree with
That's
he
good.
Could have done that. In the sense that I think his performance was very consistent in how he even approaches the music.
Yeah.
So don't get it twisted. I think Kendrick has the ability to approach a lot of different levels. And
yeah,
I think his approach to talking about things that, frankly, are not talked about in popular hip-hop music carries a lot of nuance and a lot of levels
it's
and a
admirable.
Lot of layers. But it is, there is always kind of that murkiness to how he approaches like extreme nuance and like signifying where things came from and the clarity of those things. Kendrick is kind of Hotep in some regards in
yeah,
terms of how
and
he,
we know that.
You know what I'm saying? Like how he approaches those things. So for me, it was very consistent.
Ah, yeah.
And I honestly wouldn't have expected much to be different.
Well, I wouldn't have expected much to be different either, but
not to say it's wrong to expect.
No, but I find it interesting. Like, think about your working life. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. How many more receipts do you have to provide than white people?
Woo.
Do you know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. How many more receipts does Beyonce have to provide than Kendrick?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
So the expectation for neither of us was there.
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I do think comes out now, and one thing that I do think has some merit in this conversation is like, Kendrick is relatively young compared to Beyonce.
True.
You know, Beyonce's like, I think like 30.
Well, she's 34. He's 28.
But he is, I mean that.
He's recently come of age.
Yeah. Yeah. And Beyonce also, I mean, we talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Beyonce also hasn't typically made protest music.
True.
Specifically.
Mm-hmm.
This is very new. And I think, you know, we have much more of a, like, we have a much deeper catalog to be able to critique with Kendrick, to be able to paint, like, a much more linear picture.
Yeah.
So I do think there should be something afforded to, like, age and
consistency as far as messaging.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Beyonce put out a very, like, technically and message perfect piece of product.
Yeah.
But it's not that there isn't a lot more to compare it to from her.
Yeah.
I mean, mind you, like, most of her catalog is technically, like, perfect.
Yeah.
But in terms of her approach to, like, music that does what Formation and the performances of Formation do,
yeah,
there is not a deep well.
That's true.
But with Kendrick, there is. So it's a little easier to make, you know, those larger critiques of him. He's had more opportunities to make some missteps, but I think his youth, there's some opportunity there to evolve.
Yeah.
There's one thing I want to make sure we get to before we run out of time, and that is kind of the intersectionality of it all.
Yes!
So one of the biggest critiques actually came not as much directed at the performances as much as Kendrick's music in general, but I think it was an interesting opportunity to dissect it in regards to Beyonce,
mm-hmm.
is that Kendrick, there is not much room for black women in Kendrick's music.
Yes.
In addition to just his overall politics, like how he professes the politics of his music, there's not a lot of space for black women.
No.
And I think, I mean, honestly, you said, real talk, throw you a little bit of shout out, bit of praise,
my arms are
a little
open,
bit of credit.
Trying to get the credit.
You said this in our episode where we talked about To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
You talked about one of the things I didn't really realize is how almost every space in which Kendrick is appealing to women and femininity is from kind of a sexual metaphor. It's almost always a sexual metaphor.
Yeah.
You know, in talking about like, and
or like, yeah, or like, you know what, life ain't shit but a fat vagina.
Yeah.
Or even just like, you know, that actually makes me think of now the other context wherein he mentions women and femininity was complexion, and that was all about love your blackness. And it's interesting because I'm like, okay, so my primary value to you is sexual.
Yeah.
Because of colorism and white supremacy, if I want to gain some type of power, and within your framework, my only power can come through sex.
And reassessing how you even approach that sexuality. Like, I mean, that's kind of what complexion deals with.
Right, know? Exactly. So it's like, okay, so like you're telling me that like, even though my looks, which is like, again, like goes back to sex and my value, or like the only things that I really have to offer, even though my looks are not preferred, I should just love myself anyway, as opposed to you, the person with some more power in that situation, changing or erasing
how we feel about women.
Like changing or erasing like the actual structure itself, like dismantling the structure itself would be a lot better. It's like also too, it's like the shit I hate about like people always being like, oh, women should just love their natural hair. And it's like, but like you have made it so that my environment is unsafe for me to be black, like to be as black as possible. You know? It's like, okay, so like, yeah, I can wear my hair curly, but like, what are you gonna, or kinky or whatever, or wear it in a fro or whatever. But like, if you haven't created a safe environment for me to do that, what the fuck are you telling me to do?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me to do anything?
And like, I found, so, I mean, obviously at the time you said it, I was like, fuck, I hadn't even really had time to think about it. Yeah. I was just sitting there like mouth agape. But I've had time to like really think about it and like come back to the music and stuff right now. And I mean, obviously I thought it was a valid critique before, but it definitely, like, I'm more versed in it right now. And I feel like it definitely makes a lot of sense. And I understand why people give him that critique. And what I tried to do was kind of go back and go deeper. And what I really found is, like, there really isn't. Like, if you think about conscious rap specifically, like, Kendrick's unique position within hip-hop for many people is that he has made conscious rap popular. And more popular than it has with in terms of approaching that consistency. Like, that's what he does. That is pretty much his lane. Mm-hmm. And he has, you know, the popularity on par with a Drake, Future, any of the other, like, heavyweights at our particular time.
He has, like, mainstream widespread success.
Exactly. So I think it's a good opportunity. So I tried to go back and look to see of the people who have had similar platforms, did anybody really do it differently? And honestly, it didn't really stand up.
No.
Interestingly enough, except for like Kanye, it's sad. Like, early Kanye was very different.
In which ways?
Well, and mind you, this might be grasping at straws, but like one specific thing that I kind of looked at, like, he very much subscribed to the same, like, you know, kind of love yourself, you know, there's like workout plan,
real,
and like all falls down.
Love yourself from Kanye. It's so interesting.
Yeah, but within like Jesus Walks, he talks about like making. He's like, you know, Jesus walks with everybody, including the strippers, which is interesting considering he called out Amber.
I know.
But you know,
wait. But you said workout plan though. But workout plan to me was like, and Gold Digger are like really misogynist piece.
No,
of
I'm
shit.
Saying I was contrasting this particular lyric with those songs. So I'm just saying, like, there were some hints, like that was the closest I could get with Kanye in terms of hints at making room, which are minimal. But then if you go back even further, probably one of the other people who I felt like was most popular for being conscious was probably like Ice Cube. And and that was even more.
Or even thinking about like
difficult
Tupac,
even Tupac. Like, I mean, if you think about, oh, I mean, most of those spaces. Like, if you think about Dear Mama, like, or even like Brenda's Got a Baby, a lot of it is focused around like just shitty approaches to incorporating women into this, into what they were trying to do, quote unquote.
Yeah.
It's very prescriptive, like prescriptive of how women should act. And, you know, how we should support them.
Yes. How they can be saved.
Yeah.
How all these hoes can be saved.
So, yeah. I mean, I really struggle with that. I think, I tried to think of why, you know. And I think a lot of it does actually come back to age. You know, like, I mean, you don't see a lot. Like, if you think about Ice Cube, when he was specifically conscious, it was when he was young.
Yeah.
He was very young. Kanye... it was when he was young.
Yeah.
Tupac
is only ever going to have been young.
Yeah. I mean, but he also got weird the older he got. Like, it wasn't like his message got, I think, kind of muddled towards the stuff he put out.
Tupac at 22 is different than Tupac at 26.
Exactly.
Or 25. I don't know if he made it to 26.
But yeah, like, I think youth has a little, like, hip hop, like, we don't really age well from a conscious standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Like if you look at, like, LL Cool J. Like, Kanye is up there. He's like 36. You have like Jay-Z up there too.
Yeah.
You know, but those people didn't really make that type of music as much.
No. Well, it's interesting you talk about aging. It's like, even I think about like my propensity for listening to hip hop has just declined the older that I get.
Yeah.
Because it's also like, it just doesn't feel like it's, I think I've said this before, it just doesn't feel like it's addressing me.
Yeah.
And so unless it's like really, really good, like I love, like my, probably my favorite album hip hop wise of last year was, and maybe like it's still in my top three or top five of last year. It was Vince Staples' Summertime 06.
Which was excellent. Yeah.
Like fucking excellent. Like that to me is like, he's also like 21, 22. Yeah. So if I listen to Vince Staples, I feel like I'm hearing a really smart 21, 22 year old making excellent work. And like that to me is something I can listen to over and over and over and over and over again. But like 50 Cent, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like who's somebody who's always been terrible and like is terrible now.
The first album was...
No, but I'm talking about like as far as like getting me to like want, like I think he has some like,
I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think he has some good songs. The older I get, I'm like, I know too much. And I wonder also if that's like the way for the artist. You know what I mean? 10 years ago when Jay-Z released an album, the one before Making Gangster, people were like, yo, you seem too old for this. And he was like only like 37 or something like that, like 34.
Yeah.
But it's like, I wonder if you reach a point where you're like, is, can I really still talk about this? Like,
well, that's the thing. And even like with, and I think for like conscious rap specifically, like everybody's music evolves, you know what I'm saying? And usually evolves to the point where you have, I feel like, too much separation from your audience and the things and the struggle, quote unquote, regardless of what, like the trap, even if you want to like offer, start comparison.
Right.
So like, yeah, like Jay-Z's music as he's gotten older, to me, is not necessarily as good. Production never faltered. But but his actual like bars, what he's spitting about, the proficiency is still there, but the content is a little like, man. And that happens kind of across the board.
Yeah.
So I think where I think there's opportunity to kind of come back to it all with Kendrick is that he's gotten so popular with making conscious music. It's gotten, in my opinion, the subject matter has gotten better, even if his scope has probably gotten a bit too wide.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like he is getting better as an artist.
Yeah.
And he's trying to branch out. He's taking some chances.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, I don't know how much hope I can actually have, that as he expands his scope, he can evolve to maybe see more of the ways in which we should include Black women within conscious hip-hop.
What's interesting, though, is that like that's like the way a lot of people feel. And like, I'm not saying I necessarily feel any different.
Yeah.
But like, it's not even what either of them make that makes me feel any type of way. Do you know what I'm saying? Because like, it's crazy to like ascribe your own radical politics to somebody
else. Yeah.
Right.
And not only artist.
An artist who also like needs a lot of corporate sponsorship to be able to produce their art at the level that they do.
Yeah.
My thought is just like one person gets endless patience and the other person gets none. And the, this is the thing though.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like, Beyonce gets patience from maybe you. Do you know what I'm saying? Or like maybe Black men who we know who are kind of like you. But like, Beyonce's thought of as somebody who's like, I said this to you, we were talking about this briefly before we started recording, like Kendrick is still like, you have, like he has a lot of leeway. What I'm saying? And like Beyonce don't have a lot of leeway. And my thought is like, if Kendrick is allowed to publicly wrestle with his politics in this way that Beyonce is not allowed to, the same way I think that like a lot of men are allowed to publicly wrestle with their politics or their sexuality or both of them at the same time, and the way that like just women in general are not allowed to. And also like, so there's that, and there's also the assumption that Kendrick has more intelligence that's going to bring him to a place of clearer or possibly better politics.
More intelligence.
No, but what I'm saying is like, I don't think he does either. And I don't think that you do, but like, There's an assumption. Do you know what I'm saying? Like Kendrick's leeway comes from the assumption that like he has the depth to one day get where people want him to be. And like there's an assumption that Beyonce does not have that depth.
Yeah.
And there's always an assumption that women don't have that depth. And that like women who embrace their sexuality or women who want blonde weave or women who like to spend a lot of money and be cute don't have that depth. And it's like that's the thing that's frustrating to me is that like, I said this to you earlier, you don't in America get to be a Black woman as rich and like consistently successful as Beyonce is and also be fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You just don't have that. Like, you just don't have that.
And I mean, yeah. And I think it's naive to think that she is, you know, and we've talked about that part on the show before. And honestly, like, I mean, it's tough to hear how you approach it. It's right. But I give you that. But I do also see it kind of, I see the scenario differently, obviously, because I'm a man.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking through the eyes of patriarchy.
Yeah.
But but with Beyonce, I feel like, and maybe this is, I feel like because of the level she's at and how she got there so quickly, people do, I agree that people.
Wait, what do you mean got where quickly?
I mean, after Beyonce left, like, Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of been it since then, in my opinion.
That's true.
I mean, it's evolved and her star has definitely like grown.
Well, my thought is that the type of popularity that she has now, she did not reach until Sasha Fierce album, until Single Ladies. Like, so we're black. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, to, like, Beyonce's been everything to me since I was like, for more than half my life.
Yeah.
She's been my shining star. Other people didn't. You know, yeah. I'm seriously. A lot of other people did not even openly have this obsession with her until maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
And I think that's fair, but she was definitely on a track. Like, the track was clear. I don't think there were many missteps in it.
No. But also, like, but when you say that she assumed that quickly, like, I know you don't mean this, but it makes it sound like...
I'm not saying without effort or without work. You know, I do think that was definitely there. I'm just saying, like, within... In terms
but
of,
sure,
like...
Sure, keep going.
Yeah, like, I think her star power, if you look at the relative span of time, is not that long.
Yeah.
Like, after Destiny's Child.
Yeah, after leaving Destiny's Child. Yeah.
You know, so that's more so what I mean specifically. But she has always had a level of... perfection in her execution that I think is extremely impressive, right?
Yeah.
And I think that people definitely now, and the critique comes from a lot of different places, one of them being like misogyny, but people expect her to continuously maintain that perfection.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird when she puts out a 7-Eleven. They may not be technically perfect, but it's just real fun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's odd. There's a dissonance there. So when I think about that and how she approaches how she approaches protest music specifically, I'm thinking people do expect a level of technical perfection from her that they haven't from Kendrick, because it's his shit has always been kind of messy.
Yeah.
And I think I completely agree that that comes from a place of like perception and perception of different genders. But I'm just saying, in terms of like how I interpreted it, like Kendrick has always been a bit like messy and rarely technically perfect, always interesting and layered, but never ever really technically perfect.
I know, but that reminds me also of how people are talking about the most recent Kanye album, The Life of Pablo. Who is Pablo? We don't know. What I'm saying is that like, I understand what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but the fact that Kendrick has the space to be messy.
True.
Where Beyonce, like, can only be where she is. I even think about the fact that, like, for women who are her peers, she has outpaced all of them. Because
I was gonna say, who are her peers?
That's what I was going to say. She's outpaced anybody who could even be a potential peer because, like, she has this, like, relentless pursuit of perfection. She works really hard.
Yeah.
She's really well-researched. She's controls her image to, like, this wild degree.
Yeah.
And, like, she also has made very specific choices in, like, if you think about it, like, when to, like, who her partner is.
Yeah.
When to announce that this person is her, like, is actually her partner.
Yeah.
When she got married, when she decided to have children, like, how she's like for a long time, Beyonce did not drink.
Yeah.
That was like her thing. She did not until she was like 25. Yeah. Beyonce just like didn't drink. That was like a thing that was like hers, because she just didn't allow for, and like that.
I mean,
and
I
like
think even to the degree in which she asserts her blackness publicly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like wields it to a certain degree. I think it was a conscious choice that has come, you know, after like a lot of different steps, and as a result of having access to her star power.
Yeah. And like, I think even like, I think she, like, even if you think about, I think that there's definitely some room for disagreement with this from certain angles. It was a gamble. Like, her performance was a gamble because
she's
like achieved a certain amount of status where like people, like, she knew that a lot of people were going to fuck with it, but she knew a lot of other people were definitely not going to. On one hand, it could be seen as a cop out because she like waited until she had a certain level of safety to be able to make this gamble. But also, she waited until she had like amassed a certain amount of wealth and like, I guess, like public goodwill to take this gamble. So it's like,
I mean, honestly, I don't like I don't have any problems with the delay.
You know, I actually don't have any problems with the delay either.
I mean, in the sense of like, so many, look, we get taken out for a variety of crazy ass things in terms of our, like, in terms of black people and star power.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense that you might want to achieve, like you said, a degree of safety before you start going out here just being as black
popping
as you
off.
Can be. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm not really tripping about that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's selling out.
I actually don't think that's selling out either. I think it's actually like a like super long game. Do you know what I'm saying? To be like, I'm going to get as much money as I can and finally get my, like, this window of time.
Yeah.
And then like say my piece. And everybody's got to deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't think... I think we both realize that we don't disagree with each other as much as we...
No, we don't. I don't think we disagree with each other at all. But I think I felt like the whole point of the conversation was to kind of tease out...
Totally, totally.
...the weird shit.
And, you know, honestly, it's... I mean, it's unpacking I think Kendrick's presence unpacks a lot of the, like, I think provides the room to dissect a lot of the inherent problems within hip hop, right?
Yeah.
And that is exciting to me. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned within To Pimp a Butterfly, like,
yeah,
I'm excited that his presence caused the conversations that it causes.
Yes.
Even this one is one that's extremely fruitful. And I want him to do better. I guess where I do provide him that leeway, and that's something, you know, I probably need to check within myself in terms of how and why. But yeah, I want him to do better just because I haven't seen anyone get it as close to right.
Yeah.
Maybe as he is.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, but you already know how I feel.
Yeah, no.
And I don't necessarily disagree with you.
And I don't disagree with you. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, in terms of communicating where I'm coming from, I don't know. Regardless, I think, but like, we have two, I think it's amazing to have two figures who inspire so much everything.
Yeah, and who are so different.
Yeah.
And both also have long, completely different, they're both in different places in their careers. Yeah. They both still have long careers ahead of them.
Yeah.
And they both have, so much attention at their disposal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's very, and I feel like with all of the different media that we have available to us and all of the different forms of entertainment that we have available to us as human beings now, the fact that these people have so much attention available to them is, like, that's exciting to me.
Totally.
Like, more so even than money. Like, the fact that they have so much attention at their disposal.
Also, and that like, blackness can be so popular. Like, don't get twisted. Like, I think blackness has always kind of been, like, a highly valuable, like, cultural currency.
But, like, implicitly.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, Beyonce now and Kendrick, for sure, like, are definitely, like, you're going to know this is blackness, and this is why it's popular. Like, you know, we're going to talk about all these things, and I am, like, so in love with it, and you're going to love it, too.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not really talking to you. It's pretty fascinating to see happen on such a large scale, and it still receive, you know, a high amount of, like, praise and popularity.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited to see what both of them continue to do.
I'm hyped for whatever. Like, I mean, we only, in terms of Beyonce, we've only heard one song
from the album. We know she's been like making other videos and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm super excited to see what she's about to do. Both of their work excites me a lot. Black History Month, man.
Yeah, it's been wild.
Yeah, no, I'm just excited. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to see, like, something that I think is inherent across all popular culture, mm-hmm. and this is, like, movies, television, books, music, is that our culture devalues women so seriously that, like, if women like something, it's innately trivial. And I'm...
Go ahead. No, keep,
no, and I'm excited because Beyonce is pushing back against that.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what the trickle down effect of that for other female pop stars and what they're allowed to do. Like, how that, like, I'm excited to see if there's any perception change or if there's any deeper investigation. Because, I mean, and we have to cut out here. So, like, I gotta go get my hair
this
done.
Shit for the last
I know,
couple minutes of the
but like, because we never, but like, it's true. That, like, I even think about Drake, women like Drake. So Drake is trivial. Women like soap operas, so soap operas are trivial. Women, even though, like, wrestling is a soap opera, and, you know, Power or whatever those shows that come on, Ballers, Entourage is a soap opera, and you know what I'm saying? But, like, women, like, anything that women like is dumb. Fashion, women like fashion, and fashion is dumb. You know what I'm saying? Even though you have to be a highly skilled person to be able to create that type of product at the type of level that, like, a lot of high fashion designers do.
Yeah.
Like, if women like it, it's stupid. Like, women like Beyonce, so Beyonce is stupid. Or, like, even, like, what's my young girl, I really like her, Tinashe.
Yeah.
I'm gonna add this to the notes. There's an awesome, I'm not saying Tinashe is, like, the Complex article. I'm not saying this is, like, she's the next Beyonce, because, like, Beyonce is once
No, but she's an excellent artist. She's so fucking talented. She produces, like, a vast majority of
her
own music.
In her childhood bedroom. I learned that from watching, like, a Sonos video, like, a Sonos, like, placement of hers, like, maybe a year and a half ago. But then, like, the Complex article was the most, and actually, I want to say I talked about Tinashe possibly before, and because I think they did a Breakfast Club interview.
We talked about it.
And, like,
April
I just felt, I remember feeling like, this girl is so smart and she's so talented
and
so interesting.
She gets the most bullshit questions.
She gets the most bullshit questions because she's, like, a cute, light-skinned, biracial woman with, like, big breasts.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, but that's, like, that's another thing for another time. If women like it or if a woman makes it, then it's stupid. So I'm excited to see that, like, like Beyonce's real, like she's been like as an artist, artistically, she's really pushing hard and pushing back against that shit. And like, I'm really excited to see what happens. And I hope that she starts to let us in, as I do with Kendrick too. Yeah. I hope that they both start to let us in more on their creative process, because the stuff they're doing right now is so interesting.
Yeah. So I think everyone should tweet at Britney and be like, it's rude and disrespectful that you save, like, well, it was a really good point to the last, like, I don't know, like couple minutes of the episode when there's not really any time to dissect it anymore.
I know. But
but that's fine.
It's going to come. Cool. But the other thing though, is that, like, it's going to come back around.
All right. That's fine. Well, everybody, I really appreciate y'all listening to us this week.
I appreciate this.
Let us know what you think. I mean, obviously, we could only talk about it so much. We can't be here forever.
No.
But
I got to pee and I got to get my hair done.
Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think we've missed. Let us know what you think we've gotten wrong.
Yes.
And write us a review.
Yeah. Write us a review. If you want to write us a review about this episode, that's cool.
And even email us, too. forculinaries@gmail.com. Tell us what you think.
Yes, please.
Thank you so much. You guys are amazing. We'll be back soon.
We'll be back soon. Peace.
Bye.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.